You wake up on New Year's Day after a long night of celebrating. After rolling out of bed, it becomes obvious that something is wrong. Lights aren't turning on, water isn't coming out of the tap, and you aren't able to call anyone to see what's going on. What's even worse is the TV won't turn on. There's a frenzy at the grocery store, people buying essentials trying to survive. These issues don't just last a few hours or a day. They last weeks, the world looking more and more like a dystopian movie every time you look outside. Sounds terrifying, right? This and much worse is what evangelical Christians expected to occur at the turn of the millennium because of the Y2K bug. Welcome back to Did the World End Today? A podcast investigating different theories about the apocalypse throughout history. My name is Caroline McVeigh, and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we'll be discussing Y2K, what it is, evangelical Christians' expectations for it, and how they coped when their prophecies did not come to fruition. Come with us as we dive into the world of conspiracy theories, apocalypticism, and evangelical Christianity. First of all, what even was Y2K? Y2K was a shortcut early computer programmers took to save memory space by only including the last two digits of the year. Rather than typing 1964, they would only include the 64. The computer then would assume 19 preceded the last two digits. This was because computer memory was measured in singular bytes during this time, while today we use gigabytes, a unit equal to 1 billion with a B, bytes. Y2K became a public concern in the 18 months leading up to 2000. While in 1999 we were not as reliant on technology as we are today, it is still essential to the everyday functions of society. Y2K caused genuine fear in people for this reason. People weren't sure if the lights, water, or cell towers would work after midnight on January 1st. Once the new millennium hit, many were worried how computers would react. Because they assumed 19 preceded all two-digit years, would computers think it was 1900 rather than 2000? Would this cause them to malfunction? And how would that affect other infrastructure like the electric grid and banks? Computers fully going to shut down once the year rolled over? We weren't sure. This was only an issue because the people who owned the technology failed to anticipate the problem in the first place, and then were slow to update it. It was an unnecessary ruckus caused by the poor planning and the resulting inefficient computer maintenance. However, these fears were not limited to evangelical Christians. The media broadcast these worries.
Back on the Y2K front, despite all of the assurances that the Y2K computer problems are under control, at a cost of $100 billion in this country, a lot of Americans nonetheless are taking no chances. They're prepared to survive no matter what happens.
Companies capitalized on the anxiety, selling products claiming to help users prepare for and survive Y2K. The anticipation and anxiety were high. People from many walks of life shared the same concerns. Evangelical Christians simply took it to the next level. Pause! Who are evangelical Christians? Evangelical Christianity is a conservative subset of Christianity. They interpret the Bible incredibly literally. They are often premillennialists, which means they believe the world has gotten progressively worse since Jesus died and will continue to get worse until he returns. According to evangelical Christians, he will physically return to earth after the apocalypse to defeat the Antichrist and establish the kingdom of God here on earth. Not all evangelical Christians shared the same beliefs about what they expected to occur on January 1st. However, I will be generalizing for the sake of the show. Okay, now back to our scheduled programming. So, what did evangelicals believe was going to happen? Beliefs ranged from very little interruption of daily life at one end of the spectrum to mass hysteria and the second coming of Christ on the other. There were plenty of people in the middle, including Pat Robertson, a well-known televangelist and founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network. He believed Y2K was a sign of God's displeasure with humans, and that the damage resulting from Y2K was sent by God to prompt those sinners to repent for their evil ways. Others interpreted what was happening in terms of predictions recorded in apocalyptic biblical texts, including the books of Revelation, Daniel, Peter, and the Corinthians. They expected that the Antichrist would descend on the world and the United States particularly. This would be the beginning of the apocalypse. Existing anxieties around the possibility of social and economic meltdown in the secular world further supported the fears evangelicals held. Y2K also combined an apocalyptic event and an apocalyptic date, heightening the surrounding anxieties. Because Christians are taught to look for signs from God about future events, the Y2K bug occurring at the beginning of the third millennium was a very clear sign of God's displeasure with humankind. These extreme believers stocked food, water, batteries, and other supplies they believed would be necessary to survive for weeks or months without technology. Some people even moved to rural areas of North Carolina and California in preparation for cities to completely shut down on midnight of January 1st. While evangelical Christians expected all of society to stop functioning at midnight on New Year's, in reality, nothing major happened. Once the Y2K bug became popular knowledge, the government and companies began addressing the issue, editing the computer code to include the four-digit year. In the end, enough work was done prior to January 1st to ensure no disastrous events occurred. Life continued as normal. For these apocalypse preparers, though, life could not continue as expected. They had expected massive ramifications, and yet nothing occurred. This disconnect created a significant amount of cognitive dissonance among believers. Stop! We need a definition. Cognitive dissonance is the psychological stress a person experiences when their personal beliefs are contradicted by facts, events, or other actions. For people whose beliefs are strongly held, this can create an enormous amount of anxiety and distress. After Y2K fears did not materialize, evangelical Christians experienced a lot of cognitive dissonance and had a wide variety of responses to being confronted with the reality of the situation. For instance, in one study by sociologist Andrea Tapia, Y2K believers were interviewed in the summer of 1999 to identify their expectations for the new year, and then again in the spring of 2000 to allow enough time for expected ramifications to occur. All participants believed that Y2K would be the catalyst for the return of Jesus Christ because of the massive societal disruptions. When confronted with the facts that no major disturbance occurred, Tapia found that these Christians had a variety of different responses. Some justified that something did occur, pointing to minor issues that did not impact society in any meaningful way. Others insisted that it was not over yet. They believed that the biggest issues were still to come, and society would become more fractured because of it. Because these evangelical Christians believed that Y2K would be a clear message from God, they were confused and continued waiting when nothing occurred. Other evangelicals who spread warnings of Y2K, like Pat Robertson, quietly deleted all information they had released on the subject and never spoke of it again. Today, it is impossible to find anything from CBN or Robertson himself discussing the supposedly impending crisis. it is important to recognize the emotional and mental toll the preparation for Y2K and subsequent disappointment Y2K took on believers. These people spent upwards of a year preparing for massive societal breakdown, mayhem, and even living off the grid for an extended period of time. Evangelicals were fully convinced the world would end come January 1st, and Jesus would return to bring all his believers to heaven. I can only imagine how stressed I would be in their shoes, expecting the world to end incredibly soon. Then again, I am a mentally ill college student. I always feel like the world is ending, but that's a topic for another show. Or my therapist. Probably my therapist. It is vital to recognize that this belief began taking a toll on their mental health as well as their financial well-being. Many spent thousands of dollars buying food and equipment to help them last off the grid for an extended amount of time. The time and money evangelicals spent fortifying these beliefs ended up being completely unnecessary. This sounds a lot like QAnon supporters. Correct. The beliefs evangelical Christians held about Y2K and their resulting cognitive dissonance are incredibly similar to those held today by QAnon supporters and others who still believe Donald Trump is currently president of the United States in April 2021. While I don't want to draw any connection between the people holding each belief, it is interesting to analyze the parallels between these two sets of beliefs. For those of you who don't know, QAnon is the name of a far-right conspiracy theory encompassing everything from child sex trafficking to Satan worship to plots to overthrow Donald Trump while he was president. This is just the tip of the iceberg. So if you are interested and would like more information, there are a multitude of other shows dedicated entirely to the subject. What is important for you, our listener, to understand is that many QAnon supporters are also evangelical Christians, Trump supporters, and believe the United States presidential election was stolen in November 2020, so Trump is still the rightful president. Some even believe he is still in power behind the scenes. So, what exactly do Y2K preppers and QAnon supporters have in common? First, both movements attracted a large number of evangelical Christians. Secondly, both Y2K preppers and QAnon supporters believe in theories that have been blown out of proportion and now feel entirely unfounded. Lastly, both groups experienced or are experiencing a significant amount of cognitive dissonance when events came to pass that did not line up with their expectations. For Y2K preppers, it was the turn of the millennium with no interruptions to daily life. For QAnon supporters, it was Joe Biden being elected as the nation's 45th president. Both groups had similar responses to the cognitive dissonance they experienced as well. Some Y2K believers insisted mayhem was still ahead in the spring of 2000. Similarly, 5 months after the election, and 3 months after the inauguration of President Joe Biden, QAnon supporters insist that Trump is the president of the military and is still secretly pulling the strings behind the scenes. Neither group has been able to come to terms with the fact that their hopes or beliefs did not come to fruition. I think it is very interesting how similar the demographics of these two groups are. I would love to dedicate a future podcast to the intersection of evangelical Christianity and conspiracy theories, especially these two. If you also find that interesting, please let me know in a review or email me in the email linked in the description. Thank you so much for listening to Did the World End Today, where we discovered that the world did not, in fact, end on January 1st, 2000, much to the dismay and cognitive disorientation of many evangelical Christians, and where I hope listeners began to understand how evangelical Christians expanded on viable fears about Y2K to disproportionate levels. Their anxiety was amplified because of the possibility of an apocalyptic event coinciding with an apocalyptic date. This fear manifested in a variety of ways, from stocking essentials to trying to warn others. In the end, it was all unnecessary. Tune in next week as we discuss another recent brush with death in December 2012 with the end of the Mayan calendar and determine if the world actually ended over 8 years ago. Stay safe out there. You never know when the apocalypse may begin. Thank you to scholars Robert Bennett, Bruce Cratophil, Keith Burbank, Harris Miller, Mark Kellner, Lisa McMinn, Andrea Tapia, and Douglas Cohen for their insightful research on Y2K, evangelical Christians, and their expectations for New Year's 2000. NBC News and Tom Brokaw for the news coverage in the days leading up to January 1st. Professor Upson Saya for the engaging semester and assistance throughout the project. Natasha Carpenter-Frank and Alyssa Bernstein for helping me refine my ideas, think through issues, and generally listen to my rambles. A final thank you to the evangelical Christians who held these beliefs so I and many others could study you and your beliefs. For the extra special listener that stayed to the end, first of all, I appreciate you and your support on this show. Secondly, I want to share my obscure theory I conjured while researching for this episode. I would also like to preface this by saying I frequently connect unrelated topics and make it a theory. My cousin and I even convinced ourselves our uncle was Harry Potter once. Now, my theory. So we know Jesus was actually born in 4 BCE rather than 0, and that evangelical Christians expected Jesus to return at the turn of the century on January 1st, 2000. Threes are also very important in Christianity. For example, the Holy Trinity, comprised of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Further, the expectation for the end occurred as we entered the third millennium in 2000. What if these evangelicals were right and Jesus was reborn around this time? If Jesus was born between 1996 and 2004, to account for the shifting calendar prior to the Gregorian and the possible imperfection in the perfect work of the Lord, Jesus would be a Gen Z kid. He would be on TikTok. He would probably be a leftist POC TikToker, and conservative Christians would hate him. Please take this with a grain of salt, and thank you for listening. Have a great day and a great week.